Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast with a new take on running, fitness, and all things health-oriented. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I present a new topic that is of interest to all runners. Welcome to episode 180 of Martha Runs the World. There's a song by the band The Sheepdogs called "Is Your Dream Worth Dying For?" Talks about pursuing a goal that is truly worthy of our time. We think about that a lot in running. We have high goals and spend much of our time preparing, training, and working towards some of very lofty goals. It fits in this episode. If you put enough effort into something, physically, mentally, and emotionally, you will see the results. Do you put enough desire and efforts into your running goals? This week, the story, although similar to what I was talking about, is way different than past episodes. It involves running and walking. That's true. Okay, a lot of running and walking, but it tells the tale of a small group of intensely dedicated individuals, Japanese monks, who lived to attain enlightenment through movement and prayer. But let me set up the background first. So, what is Buddhism? I am not familiar with it very much, so I want to start at the beginning for those like me who don't have any background in it and want to really know what it is. Okay, and this is straight from the Buddhist Center, and that's CENTRE.com. And it says, and I'm reading straight from the website, "Buddhism is a path of practice and spiritual development leading to insight into the true nature of reality. Buddhist practice, like meditation, are means of changing yourself in order to develop the qualities of awareness, kindness, and wisdom. The experience developed within the Buddhist tradition over thousands of years has created an incomparable resource for all those who wish to follow a path which ultimately culminates into enlightenment or Buddhahood. It can be thought of as a religion or philosophy, but that is beyond the scope of this podcast and something to ponder on a long trail run sometime. Buddhism is practiced by billions of people worldwide, with differences, some slight and some larger, in each group. Tendai Buddhism in Japan comes from the Japanese pronunciation of the Chinese term Tiantai. Tiantai is the name of a mountain range in eastern China where the Tiantai school of Chinese Buddhism first developed in the 6th century. The Chinese Tiantai school was one of the first and most influential East Asian Buddhist lineages to synthesize the diversity of Indian and Chinese Buddhist practices and teachings. Tiantai lineages eventually spread to Korea, where it is known as Chiantai, and Vietnam, where it is called Tiantai, and finally Japan, where it is known as Tendai. Tendai Buddhism blends Indian and Chinese philosophical and religious ideas. Drawing upon the thought of the Indian Buddhist philosopher, I am going to butcher this name and I do apologize, Nagarjuna, and he was around in 150 to 250 CE, and the concept of Shunyata. Tendai Buddhism was founded by Ziyi few centuries before that, a Chinese scholar monk and meditator who lived in the Tiantai Mountains in China and transmitted to Japan by a monk named Saicho, who founded Enryakuji Temple on Mount Hiyai, Japan. Tendai Buddhism teaches a balanced approach to the study and practice of Buddhism. Core ideas include Ekayana, one vehicle. Tendai Buddhists seek to understand the inherent unity within the diversity of Buddhist traditions. To study Tendai is to study Buddhism as a whole, while also finding an approach to study and practice that works best for you. Ichinen Sazen. 3,000 worlds in one thought moment. Tendai Buddhists seek to understand the interconnectedness of all things. And Buddha nature, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word, I do apologize. Tendai Buddhists' thought and practice is rooted in the notion that all beings possess the infinite potential to discover the truth together. And I bring all this up and talk about all this base information because the Tendai monks of Japan have a tradition where you can, if you are one of the Tendai monks at Mount Hiyai, you can undergo a transformation to become a Buddhist god on earth. But this transformation is very difficult and takes over 7 years to complete. And very few have done it. It's massively difficult. It's more difficult than anything else I've ever seen. And it is very, very extremely, extremely taxing to the body. But a few have done it, and that's what we're talking about. But I wanted to give the base of their religion and beliefs before I started. A few of the Tendai monks of Japan complete what they call marathons, and it's not 26.2, it's around that distance, around Mount Hiyai. One monk will promise, upon the threat of death, yes, death, to complete circling the mountain 1,000 times in 7 years. It's around a 22-mile loop. It can be 18 miles. There's different courses, distances that they have to complete in a year. It changes, and I'll explain that as we go along. The total mileage covered is around 27,000 miles. Upon completion, they become enlightened and become a living Buddha. After completing the first 700 circumambulations, the pilgrim will also undertake a death-defying 7-day fast from food and water, which would kill a normal person, but they who really can only survive 5 days without water. But they do it. They survive and they live, and then they become a living Buddha. Buddhists believe that the root to all evil is the self. Through isolation, the monk can concentrate on completing his goal. Their god, Fudo Mu'o, is the god of light. And this is the god that they worship to at the center, at the temple. Mount Hiyai lies northeast of the city of Kyoto in central Japan. The running monk wears typical sandals, no running shoes. He also wears a white outfit, which white symbolizes death, and headwear that the monks use, because this is a religious undertaking more than a physical exercise. The other monks clear the path of sharp rocks and branches and other debris, but it's still really tough because there's a lot of elevation involved, and those sandals and that outfit that he has to wear. Monk must finish at an acceptable time, but he must not race through this pilgrimage. He needs to say prayers and homage every place noted at the map, and he gets to know each place because he has to do this many times. There are 250 places on the map, including every temple, altar, and cemetery, and place of distinction that he has to stop and pray or say homage to or chant. There are directions on the map that he has to follow. If the monk does not finish, they have to kill himself, either by disembowelment or hanging. The countryside around the mountain is lush and rich in plant life, plenty of trees and jungle-like environment. The path is hardly smooth as it goes through lots of elevation gains and losses. Tendai Buddhism is having a bit of a revival in central Japan, and the marathon monks are at the center of attention in that part of the country. But they'll do it regardless. They're helping in modern Japan bring back some of the old spiritual values of the country. Originally, the Kyoto Marathon was a pilgrimage to the Kyoto Palace to pay respects to the Emperor of Japan. That was many centuries ago. That's how this started. But it's changed into this challenge for the monks. There are strict laws to follow if a monk wants to start their 1,000 marathon journey. They first must complete 100 marathons in 100 days. And they have to do this consecutively. They can't skip a day. No matter how they feel, no matter how injured they are, they have to keep going. After completion, they can petition to allow to undertake the 1,000-day spiritual journey called Senchai Kaihogyo. If he is accepted, he must free himself from all family ties and observe a 7-year retreat at Mount Hiei. He will always wear white, the color of death. He will dedicate himself to 900 more marathons over 7 years. The first 300 are 18 to 25 mile distances undertaken 100 days in a row from March to October in 3 years. In those first 3 years, he cannot wear socks with his sandals. But in the fourth year, he can start wearing socks. Well, wow, what a luxury. In the fourth to fifth years, he will finish 200 consecutive marathons each year and be allowed to carry a walking stick. And this is 200 in a row, regardless. Break an ankle? Who cares? Got to do it. You have to keep going. He has to keep going no matter what. No matter if he's sick, no matter if he's injured, no matter what, he has to keep going. Or he has to hang himself or disembowel himself. After he's completed all of that, he then faces the hardest part, the fast. Now, see, after every year that he does the challenge, he has to do what's called the dori. It's 7.5 days without food, water, or sleep. He sits upright, chants mantras all day and night. He does the fasting after every challenge. Think of the hardest race you ever did, and then times that by a trillion. Okay. All right. Now, remember, his journey is not complete. In the sixth year, he experiences 100 consecutive days of 37.5 mile distances that he must finish in 14 to 15 hours. Now, he probably did the first years walking, but this one he's got to move a little faster, and he's probably tired out from those first years. And see, here's the thing. They don't eat that much. They maybe eat 1,200 calories a day. They don't eat more than that. These are monks. These are not, top athletes. They don't eat a lot. They are very frugal and very, very small amounts of food. So they do not eat a lot in their normal day. And he may be hungry and he may want more, but they really don't eat that much food. So he's got to finish more than a longer distance than a 50K in 14 to 15 hours. And the seventh and final year, he will need to complete 2 100-day challenges. The first 100 days consists of a daily 52.5-mile walk through Kyoto. He needs to do this 100 days in a row. So he has to walk over 50 miles every day for 100 days in a row through Kyoto. He will get about 2 hours sleep each night for 100 days. Can you imagine that? Sleeping 2 hours every night, only 2 hours every night for 100 days in a row. Scientists would say that you couldn't do that, that you would die if you didn't get enough sleep. These monks do it. They do it. How do they do it? How do they exist? And while on this course, he will bless followers. He will only consume about 1,450 calories a day. And here's the ticker. Here's the thing. He will not lose any of his muscle or weight. How do they do this? Is this mind over matter? Is this how it's done? He doesn't lose any of his muscle strength or any of his weight. He doesn't get gaunt. He keeps going, and he blesses people along the way. I don't think this is a miracle at all. I really don't believe in that. But scientifically, is this mind over matter? Is this what this is? It's remarkable. It truly is extraordinary. The final 100-day test is relatively easy compared to the others. The last test is an 18-mile daily course. And after he finishes the 7 years, his miles add up to in between 24,000 and 27,000 miles, which is pretty much a circumference around the Earth. And then he goes for his final dory, which is 7.5 days without food, water, or sleep. As I said, he sits upright, chants mantras all day and night. And if he lives through this, he will obtain Buddhist level of saintly master of the severe practice.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
And that is incredible. What he does after that is he goes through a fire ceremony, and after that he will exist off root vegetables, boiled pine needles, nuts and water. Yum. Since 1885, only 46 monks have finished this 1,000-day journey. Two monks have passed a 2,000-day journey, which is double the version. Double. They've done this twice. My gosh. That's extraordinary to me. How could you go through this twice? I mean, going through it one time is incredible to me, is unreal to me. Doing this twice? Two have done it twice. That's superhuman. You can watch all those silly movies and TV shows about superheroes. Nah, nonsense. You know, these guys are superheroes. These guys, if you want to really follow some superheroes, these monks are superheroes. There's nothing that CGI can create that is more superhuman than these monks. These are the real superheroes. Batman can't do this. Sorry. Superman can't do this. Spider-Man can't do this. Nah. This is superhuman. And one monk tried to do the triple version, but he died by suicide, because he couldn't complete it. See, if you can't complete it, if they undertake the race and they can't complete it, then they have to hang themselves or disembowel themselves. I don't know what's the worst choice. Just thinking about it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, to be perfectly honest. They're very serious about finishing it. I tried to find out how many did not finish, but there are no numbers with that. I did watch a video, and there'll be a link to this video, to this YouTube video. It's extraordinary. It's great. And it's about the marathon monks. And the video did say that there are many unmarked graves of monks surrounding the mountain. So I'm assuming that many try it and do not finish it. I guess they go into the unceremonial did not finish DNF category. In his book, The Marathon Monks of Mount Hiei, John Stevens sums up the greatest contributions of these spiritual adventurers. The most admirable thing about the Hiei Gyoja is their warmth, open-heartedness, and humanity. Facing death over and over, the marathon monks become alive to each moment. Full of gratitude and grace, they have much to teach us. Always aim for the ultimate. Never look back. Be mindful of others at all times. And keep the mind forever set on the way. After hearing this nearly unbelievable story, You wonder, okay, what does this have to do with me? I have a busy life. I fit in running and training as best as I can. I certainly can't hide myself away from my family in the mountains, become a monk, dedicate myself to training only, and promise to hang myself if I don't finish. Yeah, well, none of us can do that, right? Sometimes we wish we could. We wish we could only do running and nothing else with our lives, right? I mean, we certainly wish we could. And yeah, of course, you're right, obviously. We can't just run and do nothing else. It's a different type of life. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that if I became a monk, they would not discourage me listening to music loudly as I like to do. So that would not work well, I'm sure, with the other monks. And I'm not going to shave my head. So yeah, that's a no for me. But yeah, what can we learn? We can learn that to take the passion, to take the determination and the sheer will to finish what we start, to find a goal that's worthy of us. Maybe find a goal that is attainable. Let's say we've always wanted to run a marathon. Okay, you've always wanted to run a marathon. Okay, put that as your goal. Then work towards it. Is that goal? That goal is worthy of us. Yes, that goal is worthy of us. How are we going to get there? Then start making the steps to do so. Do you need a running coach? Get a running coach. Do you need to alter your diet so you eat healthy to support that training? Do you need to rearrange your schedule so you get enough training runs in? Do you need to add strength training? Do you maybe need a dietitian to help you eat healthy? All of these are things that you need to ask yourself. What is it? I mean, is your goal worth dying for? Is your dream worth dying for? That was my question when I started the episode. You have to dream big and then put that dream into a reality. And I'm not saying die for it. Geez, we're not monks here. We're not Tendai monks here. So, but make it lofty enough and then work towards achieving it. A dream is just a dream until you put it into action. So that is my lesson for this week. And I just have a few words about Western States, which happened this weekend. Yeah. And I will be right back with that. So Western States 100 happened this weekend. That was very, very cool. I hope you got a chance to check it out. They had a live YouTube feed, and it was really terrific for the first time. They had live cameras on the course, which was awesome. That was excellent. I loved the coverage. Thank you very much, Western States. Thank you very much, I Run Far, and everyone else who had a part in the coverage. I got to watch it from work. That was cool. That was neat. Even though I was working, it was fun to watch the coverage. And Adam Peterman came in first for the men, and Ruth Croft came in first for the women. And it was great to have that live feed and the live cameras. I know in the past they've had the hosts have the booth set up at the finish line. And that's fun, but, you know, I don't know, it gets kind of, it's all right. You know, it's okay, but yeah. Yeah, it's much better to have the cameras so you can see the runners cross and to see them on the course. And I know one day they'll have as good a coverage as Cocodona does. They're getting there, though. It's almost there. So maybe next year. But that was really fun. I hope you got a chance to check that out. That was cool. And hopefully more events will be like that and get more and more coverage so more and more people can check it out. Well done. And that was hecka fun. I don't swear on this podcast. Next year, I'm hoping next year that I can go up to the end to watch the Golden Hour. I really hope to. I want to next year. So what do you have coming up? My next race is in 2 weeks. I am going to do a 6-hour timed race at Presidio. I hope for coastal trail runs. I hope to see some of you there. Maybe you will be there. I don't know. But what do you have coming up? Remember, I really want to do Tales of the Trail, but I'm not going to do it unless I get race reports from you. If you have a race report, send it to me at martharunstheworld@gmail.com. All the stuff mentioned this week can be found at martharunstheworld.com. I'm going to put a link to a very, very cool YouTube video about the marathon monks. It's really, really superb. It talks about one monk's journey to the end of and he doesn't disembowel himself, so don't worry, it's not a sad ending. So you won't be disappointed at the ending. And all the links will be there for the buy me a cup of coffee if you want to throw a couple bucks my way to help out the to help out the podcast. That would be excellent. I could really use your help. And also the Patreon link is there if you want to help me out every month. That also would be extraordinarily wonderful. Thank you very, very much for listening. I truly appreciate it. And we will see you all or talk to you all next week. And until then, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.